News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton at FM Talk 106.5. It's wide open right now if you want to give us a call, for sure. 251-343-0106. We can talk about a lot of things. We can talk about Mardi Gras, of course. Lundi Gras, we're right there at the edge of it all. And hopefully one more line of rain coming through, and then we should be A-OK for the rest of today. I guess we have noon parades, and then all the way through tomorrow. It's going to be a little chilly, but it's going to be very nice tomorrow with a high right around 60, I guess, with the clear skies. So the very end of Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday itself, should be very comfortable.
Yeah, it's looking that way. And so the parades do begin at noon today. King Felix and the Floral Parade will be on the usual Route A in downtown Mobile. Then you have, coming up at 3 this afternoon, the MLK Business and Civic Parade, MLK Monday Mystics and the Northside Merchants. That'll be on Mobile Route D. Tonight in Fairhope, the Order of Mystic Magnolias roll right around 6:45, and then back to Mobile for you at 7 p.m. tonight. The IMs, the Infant Mystics, the Order of Doves rolling tonight. And that takes us to Fat Tuesday tomorrow, where if you're down by the beach, actually they get started early on both sides. So 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, the Gulf Shores Parade and the Order of Athena will roll in Mobile at the same time on Route A. Then you have at noon, or actually 12:30 tomorrow, KOR, the Knights of Revelry, along with King Felix and the Comic Cowboys. They roll at 12:30 on Route A, followed by MAMGA at 2 p.m. on Route B. Also at 2, you have the Orange Beach Fat Tuesday Parade. And tomorrow night, wrapping it up at 6 p.m., the Order of Myths in Mobile on Route C. So full speed ahead, two more days of parading. And then we have Ash Wednesday and Lent that follows.
So we set up, got all set up with our parade. Usually we do it in the westbound lane of whatever street that is. It heads right up the interstate, right? The ramp goes directly up I-10 going westbound, right there at the Civic Center. This year we were pushed over to the one lane over across a median, and that's where we kind of got it all together. And I was wondering why. But then I noticed the Corps of Engineers building going up.
Yep.
And there probably, so I posted on Facebook because it just looked odd. There must have been 30 or so like steel beams that were there to support what's already standing.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the idea that, yeah, it's standing for now.
Yeah.
But you wonder,
it's being forced to stand.
It's being forced to stand somehow. Anyway, feel free on the text line, or if you want to call, explain it all to me. It's probably, there must be 30 beams, like I said, that are like at an angle, keeping it upright, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I posted on Facebook with a picture of it. I said, okay, Corps of Engineers building that's under construction, don't budge, and we'll see you on Monday. It was almost like that was the message.
Yeah, like, it looked precarious.
We got to take the day off, but we'll see you Monday. Mm-hmm. So these beams are in place, so everything's good. Meanwhile, they move us over a lane to set up the parade, like, that could fall on Brennan. You know, Brennan and 106.5 is going to be downtown.
Yeah.
That could fall in their van. So how about we just move them over basically one lane?
The eastern wall from the Corps of Engineers building just landed on the FM talk floor.
Well, that was evidently somebody's concern because all these support beams are up there. So I'm not trying to be just a wise guy here. I'm looking for some help. Educate me. What am I looking at?
Mm-hmm.
And when buildings are constructed of, I guess, four stories or more, is that normal for these beams to be maybe temporarily in place to prevent anything tragic from happening?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just know that it caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then anybody else that happened to look over, they're like, whoa.
Well, that thing's shooting straight up, though, isn't it? That Corps of Engineers building.
Oh,
building
it is.
Quickly.
I mean, very quickly.
Yeah.
And maybe so quickly that, you know, like a toddler that's bow-legged. You got to put the braces on him, so he's okay in the end.
Yeah, it's got the Forrest Gump leg braces on right now. That's what you're saying. The Corps of Engineers building.
But I'm saying that I don't know what I'm talking about. So on the text line, let me know 251-343-0106. Anything to concern ourselves with the Corps of Engineers building?
Well, there was over 30,000 that turned out for that parade, and who were catching blueberry moon pies and other great throws from the Mobile Command Unit and the Marine Corps float that followed. But what'd you think? What was the experience? Because this is the first floral parade I have missed with the station in the last few years. I'll tell you where I was coming up.
But yeah.
Generally, the parade that the Mobile Command Unit went down went well?
It went very well. There was a bit of a delay to start out with. They weren't sure exactly. You know, the parade got off at noon. We didn't begin to move until 1.
Ooh.
So for whatever reason, there was a delay. I think that was one of those delays that was a delay on purpose. I don't think it had to do with anything breaking down. It just mm-hmm. was like, you know what, let's keep things from getting too jammed up on corners and everything like that. So anyway, they were regulating the flow of the parade. We got going at 12. There might have been one delay, but otherwise we were good. Now, before the parade, a truck that was pulling a float was on fire.
Oh, no.
And that was right there on Canal Street. And so that was a bit of a issue.
And that wasn't their intent, I take it, to be on fire.
They did not want to be on fire.
No.
You could tell by their reaction. And here comes the fire rescue engine and everything like that. I saw it once it was put out, but it was right around the time I was getting down there, around 11 o'clock. Parked near Callahan's, walked across the barricades, and maybe a 15-minute walk. But in any event, did you have a good time at the parade? I thought everybody, I also posted, mm-hmm. you know, from the parade float itself, and they weren't dense crowds, but it was an afternoon parade. You know, it wasn't like the crowds you get at night. What'd they say, 37,000 in the afternoon?
So, yeah, you had, I think, 37,000 then. And then for the night parades on Saturday night, MOTs, of course, rolling. I think they said there were over 100,000. Let's see here. I've got the numbers from Dale Leash.
Yeah, who, well over 100.
Dale is always out there counting people. And 118,000 for MOTs on Saturday night. So that is it's a bunch of people. 37,000 for the floral parade and 118,000 that night. Now, I was down, took the girls to their first ever Mardi Gras parade that they've been in attendance for.
Yeah.
And it was a good one because their grandfather, my dad, actually was in the parade. So that was a big reasoning behind it. And we went down to Orange Beach. So they rolled Saturday night. They were supposed to get started around 5:30 with the marshals. And then they've got the Mystics of Pleasure that follow. And so in Orange Beach, they do it down there on the Beach Boulevard. And I know a lot of you are out there. I actually saw a couple people I know randomly that happened to be out there at the same spot we were. So it's the girls' first Mardi Gras parade. I'm worried about getting them in the right spot, make sure that they can see their grandpa when he rolls through and be all set up and ready to go. So we go to the end of the route in the Publix parking lot in Orange Beach, and you've got all kinds of restaurants in there and things to do. So, and my brother came down too, who's in the Air Force, mm-hmm. brought his new wife. They mm-hmm. came down from Valdosta, surprised everyone, and they were there to help as well. So I've got the kids' wagon. I've got four chairs for us to set up out there by the parade route, and I leave our little dinner early as I've got the girls and my wife and brother and sister-in-law. And I go to set up on the parade route to make sure I've got the girls front and center, right in front. And I get out there. This is a good hour before the parade's supposed to start.
So you're in the middle.
Well, I'm on the northern side of the road, away from the Gulf.
Right.
And I see the barricades out in the middle. And I'm like, oh, yeah. You've got two sides of the road here on the Beach Boulevard. And there's a median in between. So how exactly are they going to do this? Well, I saw during the next break in traffic, they still hadn't shut traffic down. People were going out and going ahead and setting up in the median with live traffic still going on, right?
So that appeared to be the place to be.
That appeared to be the setup.
Yeah.
So I get across, set up the wagon, the chairs, and I am like smashed up right against the barricade there towards the end of the route, thinking I have primo positioning. The little girls will be in a great spot for their first parade. They finally shut traffic down. and people start lining up in front of the barricades.
That blows my mind.
It's not like...
What in the world does a barricade stand for?
Exactly. I thought we had
standards
here.
You get behind
the
barricade.
Yeah. I was perfect. Perfect location. Wagon right up against the barricade. It's not like Mobile. At least on the Gulf side of the road, they don't have any barricades. So you just get up as close to the road as possible.
Yeah, that used to drive me crazy when I would drive the van at like
with
Dolphin
not having
Island.
Barricades.
Yeah,
it's a little weird when you're on the inside of the parade.
It is. I mean, because at any moment, I mean, a kid could dart out in front, try to get something. You know, I mean, Mobile. You know, they have it down. They know how to do parades.
Mm-hmm. And it was a great parade, great first parade for the girls. They ended up with quite the haul of throws. But as soon as I saw people lining up in front of us, in front of the barricades where I thought I had primo positioning, I was like, this is just... But I put it away. I decided not to act like commandeering General Dalton. And my first move was to... I wanted to push the barricades as a team, everyone who had lined up behind them, into the roadway so that we could push everyone who had decided to line up in front of the barricades, get them out of the way so that we're back in the front again.
Yeah.
But in order to make things easier on my traveling crew that was with me and the girls to make sure they had, I decided to just put it away and let things go the way they were going. It ended up working out great because they may have gotten pegged with some beads or something on the front row.
They didn't get
bad experience. They ended up having a fantastic experience.
So their first parade, first Mardi Gras parade, yeah, Peyton's not even 3 yet,
She just turned 3, okay. And then the older one, 5 years old today. Happy birthday, Izzy.
Yeah. Way to go. Sweaty baby.
Sweaty baby is 5 now. Not so sweaty anymore.
And so it's not always, you know, I'm glad it all turned out well because those parades, you know, you can have a senior citizen from somewhere else, and they're confused by the parades, right? They don't quite understand what's all going on. You take a 3-year-old with things being tossed, and some of them, you know, you can get hurt, or you can be upset by it because it just seems so loud and crazy.
Yeah, and I'm sure so many of you've been through this same thing, making sure things are exactly the right way for your kid's first experience.
Yeah.
So we get down there and I'm thinking, I forgot the earmuffs. Like, it's going to be so loud. So we picked up some earplugs from the CVS that was down there. But you're exactly right. There were a lot of people around us who just happened to be in town.
Yeah.
Aren't from here.
Right.
And I know that's the case in Mobile, but especially so down at the beach.
No, yeah.
This one family was from Michigan and I started talking to him. I said, did you know Mardi Gras was this week? Is that why you came down this week? And they said, no, we don't really know much about it at all. So we kind of got a good history lesson there, too.
Mm-hmm.
I pointed them to the link to Moon Pie Minutes on our website, fmtalk1065.com.
Well done.
They're ready for Mardi Gras here forward. They'll be good to go up there in Michigan.
Yeah. So the parade itself was...
It was great.
Pretty quick.
Really good. Yeah. And I think they had 19 floats in the Mystics of Pleasure down there.
Wow.
And then, you had the marshals who rolled on motorcycles beforehand. And I think they had some golf carts in the parade, too. Worked really well. My first Baldwin County parade I'd gone to was the Gulf Shores parade. But that was probably 12, 15 years ago I did that. So this is the first time I've been down there for a Baldwin County parade in a long time.
All right. Well, Orange Beach is where it was, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Orange Beach, please. Dan here. Explain yourself. If you have barricades up, what?
Why let people in front of them?
Why just let people in front of the barricades? Think about the word. It's a barricade. I know that the governor of Texas got in trouble for some barricades in the in the water. But these barricades are there for a reason. You stand behind them, and everybody stands behind them. So what's the story? Orange Beach. I want to hear from you right now. What is the story with the barricades and no enforcement of what you're supposed to do, as in stand behind a barricade?
Other than that, fantastic parade. Mm-hmm. We just got to figure out this whole barricade situation.
I don't think it really takes figuring out.
I'll tell you what I'm doing next year.
Okay.
I'm sitting in front of the barricades.
It's 8:20 with Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings. Good morning from Dan and Dalton. As far as people standing in front of the barricades, which really doesn't make any sense. A gentleman who evidently was in the parade down in Orange Beach, but you were, said that it depends on the patrolling, that there were areas where the cops kept the people behind the barricade. Yours was kind of an outlaw stretch, evidently.
Ah.
Right?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Also, just curious, I think, who determines the number of people at Mardi Gras? And we've talked about this in the past. I think the answer is the safety department, the police.
Yeah, it's MPD, and they take they use an algorithm. So they take certain sections of the parade route and then get a total for that certain section, and then they use algorithm to estimate how many people are there for the entirety of the parade.
Got it.
And they've got it pretty tightened up, considering how long Mardi Gras has been going on in Mobile. A pretty good idea of if there's this many people here, then there are probably this many people here. So that's kind of how they make that estimate over the years.
It's in one of my favorite areas of the parade is when you get to Broad Street. It's usually pretty good crowd there, kind of a built-in crowd. You've got some of the who's just in the news here? One of the organizations. Like main building is right there.
Okay.
On Broad Street near Spring Hill Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And from there you make the turn, and then you're at Moe's Original Barbecue, and then you're in front of the garage, and they're generally having a pretty good time.
Man, when you make some of those turns and you see that alley open up and just crowds and crowds, it's something else.
It's really cool. And it was the weather on Saturday was a little strange in that when the sun was behind the clouds, it was felt a little cool, but every now and then the sun would pop out, and it actually felt hot. And when you're throwing for 2 hours, two and a half hours or so, I guess at the parade when we ended, it was nearly been like 2 hours on the parade route. So it gets to you a little bit, like a pitcher. I got to come out.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to ice the arm down after Saturday. Walt from Summerdale sending us a text. So he went over to Houma, Louisiana, for some parading. And I see here the Wienermobile in the images from Walt in Summerdale. So they went from Fort Morgan and were they in the Saraland parade?
Saraland, yeah.
And to Houma.
Houma was first because he took those pictures a weekend or so back.
Okay, so Wienermobile from Houma to Saraland and Fort Morgan. So Walt says, there are no bear cages in Houma, meaning the barricades. The ones you see in these pictures are keeping people out of our private parking area. As you can see, people are in front of them. So no barricades in Houma. I think most places... Remember New Orleans? They didn't really have any barricade rules. I think that started to change this last year or two. And
really?
Over the last couple of years, they've had people get ran over by floats. Yeah.
I've never been to New Orleans for Mardi Gras. Been to New Orleans many, many times, but never for Mardi Gras.
Tom, asking about the Corps building, says, is the Corps of Engineers building only halfway with the total height? Should be 7 floors, I think. Yeah, I know they were trying to build 6 to 8 floors, so they've gotten... What, 4 or maybe 5 up so far?
Yeah, I guess 4 or so, but no comment on those support beams that are at an angle from the ground supporting the structure to this point anyway. So just a heads up, if anybody's got any engineering background, like is that standard operating or is that unusual?
Also, a lot of texts, and we'll go into detail on this here after the break, about cell phone usage in public schools and the Alabama State Board of Education making a move on curbing cell phone usage at public schools. We'll get into that. Plus, more pushback on potential gaming proposals that came over the weekend, and I know some of you have texts on that. But one of our three big things was about the national debt and how this year it'll become the second largest expenditure in America behind only Social Security spending.
On the line items, it's number two now. The interest.
Mm-hmm. And how Putin mentioned the national debt and how that's an issue in his two-hour interview with Tucker Carlson. But I love this text from, who was it here? Oh, and I don't want to attribute this to the wrong person. Larry from Daphne. He said, the answer to the national debt is Dave Ramsey. Somebody get that man on the phone and let him talk to Congress. He'll slap some sense into some fools.
No kidding.
Yeah, our country will be driving fully paid off 89 BMWs before long, and we'll be paying down that debt.
Incredible story, really. 8:30, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings.
834 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Thanks for listening to us here on FM Talk 106.5 on this Lundi Gras. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive where we talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great here at FM Talk 106.5, and I know things are going well over at McConnell, where, of course, you're selling some fantastic new and pre-owned vehicles, but you're always buying, Louie.
That's right. We need trades, and we'll buy your car. Just give Gene a call, 251-476-4141. Give him the model, the VIN, and the miles, and a little description of it if you can, and we'll give you a price, help you out, put you some cash in your pocket. Man, we got some great deals going on the new car side. We got low interest rates on the pickup trucks, and we have plenty of pickup trucks. Man, I thought about if I knew we had this many pickup trucks, we might be pulling some of those floats this year. But we got a few here, so y'all come check those out. And we're going to be here all day long today, and we're going to be off tomorrow. I hope this rain gets out of here, and we'll have a good day today.
That's the way it's looking. We appreciate your time this morning, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Everybody be safe.
That's for sure. Louie Arata speaking the truth there. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Text line is 251-343-0106. But Louie didn't text us. He called us. If you want to do the same, you can do that. Use that same number and chat with Dalton and I on the air.
Yes, same number. Angry Patriot texting in says, just drove through the tunnel. Noticed all the plastic footballs down there where people threw them at cars like every year. I was also wondering, do you fellas know of certain officials / agencies who always tune in? Just curious if it's something you guys deal with as hosts. I know of a lot of officials who listen to us. I'm not sure if any agencies have us turned on in the morning when they get to work over the loudspeakers or anything. But, certainly a lot of people.
Not exactly Muzak.
No, I've thought about that when I've gone to, gone to a dentist or whatever. I'm like, I know you're playing this light Muzak, but we could really use some talk radio here as I'm getting my teeth cleaned.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of people who listen to this station from the time they get to work or where they're headed to work till the time they head back home and get home. And that's anyone from people who work in the courthouse during the day to some people who hold elected office.
Cheese Wagon says Aldott listens. That's interesting. the local office of Aldott, I guess. And I don't know exactly what he meant by, you know, how we deal with that. There's no... Maybe he's talking about maybe reaction to some of the things we say.
Mm-hmm.
We want reaction. Like, I want to know what those beams are doing there. I mean, I want to know.
Yeah.
What is that? And we got a picture. And from the picture of a building that looks like the building, I don't know if that's it or if that's a building in another location.
Mm-hmm.
But it also had those support beams there supporting it. So it gets your attention. Like when you drive near it or when you walk by it, you're thinking, well, they're there for a reason, right?
Yeah.
They're there to support the building that's been built so far, all the sides staying upright.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't seen that before. I mean, the RSA Tower is, 38?
It's tall.
Something like 38.
They weren't using chopsticks to hold it up.
No. at no time.
Yeah, and I know... And it's funny because it's the Corps of Engineers building the building, right?
I know. It's kind of ironic.
And the guy that follows us, Jeff Poor, on the Jeff Poor Show, I think he has an engineering degree, mm-hmm. or at least that's why he went to college initially, was engineering. Yep. And so he knows what he's talking about. I know nothing about architecture.
I know
nothing at all, but we were driving to the beach and drove by. We were driving through, you know, tunnel, mm-hmm. bayway, beach. And drove by the Corps of Engineering building. And I thought I was going to show off to the wife because we've been, you know, following this story for some time.
Uh-huh.
I went, oh, that's really shooting up over there. I heard they're pouring the walls and then putting them up right there. And I was like, that's why it's moving so much more quickly because this is the Corps of Engineers. They're smarter than everyone else.
Yeah.
She goes, well, how else do they normally do it? And I was like, I really don't know.
I don't have the answer. So
I thought I'd show off my knowledge of this building, and I really didn't know what I was talking about.
And there's some people around town. Some have been guests on Sean's show for whatever reason. I think that are on the Corps of Engineers. Good guys, good people. And you know, like this, somebody you might run into at Callahan's, you know. So just give us a text or a call. What's going on with that? And is downtown safe from the Corps of Engineers?
I think everyone's safe with the support beams, more safe than they'd be without them. And so also a lot of text about gaming and cell phones, and that's from our discussion earlier today. We'll get to the gaming here in a second, but the Alabama State Board of Education, they were at work last week and late in the week adopted a resolution. It was a unanimous vote aimed at curbing cell phone usage at public schools among the schools at these schools. I mean, the kids at these schools. And interesting comment from the vice president of the Education Board, Tracy West, who says, "We could not have predicted the great amount of national discussion that's happening across our country right now regarding the use of cell phones by our young people." What's even the point of that statement? We couldn't have predicted there'd be a national conversation about kids using cell phones in schools. That conversation's been had by most boards of education probably 10 or 15 years ago. But they're getting after it now at the Alabama Board of Education. These cell phones could be causing some issues in schools, they've decided. And so this resolution would not mandate that the public schools in the state ban cell phone use entirely, but it's to encourage school boards to consider instituting their own bans on cell phone usage during school hours. There was a ban on cell phone usage at the school I went to when I was in school.
Okay.
So, you know, 15 years ago.
What did you do with your phone?
Oh, I snuck it in, like everyone else, and texted. You know, there wasn't as much social media then, but we did have text. We didn't have as many iPhones until very late in my high school when iPhones became popular. So we all had the fold phones and, you know, the click to text. So we were all masters at texting without looking at the phone in our hoodies or whatever we were wearing.
Yeah.
But we at least had rules. And well, I'm guessing there's K-12 schools in Alabama that don't have any cell phone rules. And
Well, you know, cell phones have played a role in school shootings as kids have been barricaded or were wondering what was going on, texting their parents that they were okay.
Yeah.
You see that all the time when you have those kind of tragedies where kids are communicating.
And that's one of your thoughts as a parent, right? When you're trying to make that decision, whether to get your kid a cell phone or not. There's a long list of cons, but in the pros, it's, well, if I need to get in touch with them, they'll have that cell phone on them.
Exactly.
But apparently this is necessary for the Board of Education because a lot of the districts around the state, they said, have not updated their policies on student cell phone usage in decades. Many of them have not updated them since lawmakers passed a bill regulating the use of pagers in schools in 1989.
Wow.
So there's a bill regulating the use of pagers in public schools.
And that's the most recent bill?
That's the most recent thing here. Mackey, Eric Mackey, the state superintendent, said that this is both a local issue and a national discussion. It's about cell phones, but it's really more about screen time and social media. And I think we all know that obviously a major issue in schools. And there's been a lot of folks who have actually texted in about that this morning. This one, we'll keep this person anonymous, said, "Cell phones are one of the reasons I quit teaching. A resource officer told me at the beginning of my last year that if I took a phone from a student, I was responsible for if anything happened. Said, most of the students had nicer phones than me, so I never took up a phone because I did not want to be responsible for replacing it."
Yeah, yeah, just money-wise, like the liability there.
You're looking at a $1,000 phone most of the time.
Gosh.
Also, same texter said, "Parents are going to fight a ban. They're the ones who are calling and texting the students throughout the day."
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, and the other thing about phone use, cell phone use by teenagers, I've noticed that teenagers are, they almost could give a rip about a large screen TV. They're not looking at that.
You're
TV.
Right. Yeah,
they're not looking at that TV. They are looking at their phone.
As 80-inch TVs become more affordable, incredibly affordable.
It's a great deal.
Kids don't care.
They don't care.
Yeah.
Because they're like, no, everything I'm doing, I care about socially, maybe game-wise, mm-hmm. whatever. It's all on the phone.
Even videos. Yeah, you can watch everything on
videos there. Videos and communicating with their classmates. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's all there. It's all in the palm of their hand.
Let me tell you, if I in school had a device that was about, you know, 5 inches wide that I could just watch football highlights on all day teachers ran their mouths at the front of the room.
You would have poor grades.
I would have had the worst grades. I would have been doing that all day. Leo says, "Simple solution to smartphones on school grounds. Flip phones only allowed and turned off during school hours or they will be confiscated." Yeah, I think I might go flip phone for the kids' first phone, whenever that ends up being. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll start pushing me for it next year when the oldest one turns 6. We're going to try to wait till 13 or 14 at least. But yeah. Flip phone, I like that, Leo. That's the way to go for sure right
there. That's another good question. What age is the appropriate age for your child to own their own phone?
Michael says the smartwatches are impossible to manage for use. Yeah, that's another one. Mm-hmm. You can just throw on the smartwatch, and now it's harder to do social media and things like that on the watch. You can still message back and forth with people and get some information, but it's not like you can scroll TikTok or whatever they're on, YouTube, all day long on the smartwatch. You have to use the phone. But I guess the most surprising thing to me is the last time the legislature took a real look at something like this was to regulate pagers back in 1989.
What has happened since 1989? Plenty
has happened since then. King of all unnamed texters says, didn't parents used to contact their kids through the school? Yeah. So for the argument that you need the cell phone on the kid in order to contact you if there's an emergency, sure, that's the way parents used to do it, was to, you know, you got to call the front office. Hey, I'm coming to pick up Johnny early today. Or, hey, we just found out Johnny's granddad's in town. We want to pick him up early. Yeah, you'd go through it that way. But I think a lot of parents are thinking, if there is a school shooting, or if my kid gets, you know, if they take the bus and the bus accidentally drops them off on the wrong side of town, yeah, or something like that, yeah, 30 minutes away from us, they need to be able to get in contact with us.
And don't almost all schools have an administrator that's at that front desk that is between 60 and 71 years old, is a woman, and does her job? We had one at my school, and it was like, at the end of the day, I thought they unplugged her and rolled her into a closet. She was omnipresent. She knew exactly what to do, no matter what was going on.
Yeah.
And she had the personality of the East Wall.
Of the intercom.
but she was very efficient at what she did. Almost to the, you know, my joke was, they unplug her and roll into a closet at right around 4:30. There's somebody in your school.
I think every school had one of those.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
doubt about it.
Yeah.
Angry Patriot followed up his text from earlier asking about whether agencies tune in to us or officials. Said, does it determine what is said and done, basically? I was wondering more of how that contact works. Obviously, tons of listeners, but at what point are you censored off the show? I don't know. We don't do much censoring here.
Can't you tell?
Coming or going.
No. Yeah. So as far as... you know, we're pretty accessible, Dalton and I. Well, you know, Sean is too, for sure. Jeff, to a degree, to the people he talks about, they can reach out to him all the time. So it's no big deal. I think there are, for instance, you know, I think things can get a little. You think twice when it's somebody local or a local agency you're banging, or you have. But lots of times when it's a local thing, I realize the answer's out there. So instead of taking a swipe at them, I might just ask the question.
Yeah.
Reach out to us. What is, like I'm doing this morning, mm-hmm, with the pickup sticks holding up a building. It's like, what's going on? Help me. I'm not being critical, but I'm aware that some of them may be listening now. This is Lundi Gras. Here we are, the all-time exception to the rule, right? We're getting fewer texts this morning. We probably have a smaller audience because people are off. Well, I didn't say that. None of the cast members on this show, we're doing fine.
We were watching the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
In bed by 9.
But
so.
In any event, it doesn't normally make me adjust what I'm thinking or what I'm about to say on the air.
Yeah, no, it is kind of weird knowing that someone is listening that you're talking about.
Yeah.
But just not taking it, no low blows or personal attacks.
Right.
And public officials can generally take whatever you're pushing out there. As far as whether it changes the conversation, I know for a fact it does in many cases, because we are basically just a conduit for listeners,
yep,
to let themselves be heard. That's
right.
Why it says it in our station logo. That's why, yeah, it says it everywhere, turning up your voice. The elected officials that listen to this hear what listeners, what constituents think about things, and that does actually carry quite a bit of weight as they head on to their meetings and committee hearings.
And the text line also is more of a complaint department. You know, people generally are texting in because they've got a gripe with something, mm-hmm, rather than, you know, we probably get more of the negative side of things on the text line than positive. And the other thing that I really think when I think about these elected officials or people who put themselves out there, I never did that. I put myself out there on the air, but I've never been somebody that was seeking elected office or volunteering. I volunteer for local boards, but you know what I mean? These people, I give them credit for this. They are doers. They are out there. They're putting themselves out there to be on the school board or to be on city council. And I think you got to give them some credit for that before you begin to criticize.
Yeah, I think so for sure.
Because they've taken it a step further than me. That's the way I feel about it.
Keep the text coming, 251-343-0106. Gaming pushback, we're hearing it this weekend as last week, gambling, the lottery had all the momentum.
Yeah.
Starting to see some roadblocks show up as we head into the second week of session. We'll also lay out who Jeff Poor has coming up on his show on the way.
All straight ahead, Dan and Dalton. FM Talk 106.5. Again, that text line, 251-343-0106. Morning from Dan and Dalton. Mobile Mornings, followed by the Jeff Poor Show, which is straight ahead.
Yeah, and we're less than, in just over 10 minutes, you'll be hearing Jeff Poor talk with Senator Tommy Tuberville. He'll be first out the gate on this Lundi Gras edition of the Jeff Poor Show, so looking forward to that. Then after 9:30, State Representative Shane Stringer joins Jeff for his every other week discussion that they have. In hour number two, Stephanie Holden-Smith with the Alabama Policy Institute joins Jeff. And then in hour number three, a candidate for Baldwin County Circuit Court Clerk, Kim Earle, will join the Jeff Poor Show.
The Michael says, the Corps' new building really makes me, I guess he's going down with the kids at Mardi Gras tonight, wants me to play pickup sticks with my kids tonight. I don't think you're allowed to move the pickup sticks down there, but that people have compared it to that.
A little Jenga action down on the Civic Center property. Jason, interesting point regarding cell phone usage in school, says, but our school mandates our children use their iPads for classwork. Yeah, that's something that parents have to deal with, too. It's how do you make sure that your children's brains aren't rotted by the modern tech world while also putting them in a position to succeed in the modern tech world by being, you know, proficient at those things.
Yeah.
So schools dealing with the same thing. How do you keep their attention away from the tech devices when you need them to learn how to use the tech devices at the same time?
Yeah, and you've watched it with me, To what level have I kept up? Am I a 70? Am I a D student? A C student? I haven't kept up like I should. You bailed me out a few times.
I think you're picking it up though. There's a lot of things that you're doing now that 4 years ago I would have had to show you how to do on the phone. You've got it figured out. I'm not confiscating your phone in class. I'll say that much.
What a compliment Dalton has paid me here at the very end of the show. I don't even have enough time to show my gratitude. Jeff Poor next. Senator Tommy Tuberville, as Dalton mentioned, so be listening. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings again tomorrow beginning at 6 a.m.